We are in the sixth lesson, the fifth lesson in our series of six, Simplicity, How to Find Contentment in a Busy World. And as we've talked about the last 4 weeks, we all have busy lives, and we all keep adding things to our busy lives. And we think that a life that's full of activity and possessions and things lead to joy and satisfaction. But oftentimes, once we fill up our life, we don't find the contentment that we think we will by a full life. And so the theme of these lessons is that when we simplify our lives and when we focus on the things that matter the most, we find the contentment that God wants us to have. So we've had four lessons so far. A centered life. When life is centered in Christ, we find all we need. A daily pursuit. Our relationship with God can grow deeper because we can, as we spend time with Him each day. The key to commitment. True contentment comes through Christ alone. And then last week, godly contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so today, the lesson is entitled A Slower Pace. And the point of the lesson is that rest, the kind of rest that God wants us to have on a Sabbath day, is a gift from God. Many people will say, hey, I want to simplify my life. I want to have a simpler life. But many of those same people would say, but I don't have time. I don't have time to have a simpler life. We have so many things that we want to do, so many things we think we need to do, and it's a virtue in our culture to be productive. And so we think the more things that we can do, the greater value I have as a person because I'm more productive. And so we get busy. We get busy with our family. We get busy with our jobs. We get busy with our hobbies and different things that are in our life. And the truth is that productivity is not a measure of the amount of things we do. It doesn't measure the number of things we do. Productivity actually measures how we use our time and how we maximize the use of our time. And God wants us to be productive. I mean, we're going to talk about it in a minute. His intent from the beginning was that we work. But He's also given us something else. He says, if you want to really maximize the use of your time, you need to find a time to rest. You need to find a time to refresh. You need to find a time to just slow down, stop, and think about me. So we're in the book of Exodus this morning. We have a passage in chapter 20 where God gave Moses and the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. Remember, He met them on Mount Sinai. God actually came down to the top of the mountain. It thundered, it smoked, it shook, and God actually spoke. He spoke the commandments. Now, He also wrote them in stone for Moses, but He spoke the commandments from Mount Sinai so that the people could hear them. In the chapters of Exodus that follows, He gives us additional instructions for how to practice and keep those commandments. And so we're going to look at the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, and then we're going to turn over to Exodus chapter 31, where God gives additional instructions about keeping and remembering the Sabbath. So three parts to the lesson this morning. A day of rest is a command. It's not a suggestion from God. It's a command from God. A Sabbath rest is holy, okay? It has been set apart by God. Okay, that's what holy means, to be set apart. And then number three, a Sabbath rest reflects our relationship with God. It's a sign of our relationship with God. So we start in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Again, Exodus chapter 20 is where God spoke the Ten Commandments to His people. Here's what the Bible says in chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The English word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. Okay? And again, as I mentioned earlier, it means restfulness. It means rest. Again, many people think that the word Sabbath means seventh. It does not. We usually think of the Sabbath as a day, but it's not. It doesn't necessarily have to be a day. It's a period of time where we cease from work, whether we measure it as a day or a year. In the book of Leviticus, we're introduced to the idea of a Sabbath year, where they had a Sabbath year every 7 years, where farmers were instructed to give their land a rest. And so they were instructed not to plant, to just let the land, you know, go, and then they were to start planting the next year. And again, God gave them twice as much increase in the sixth year, so that they could live they could live off what they made in the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year, until they were able to plant the eighth year and harvest the eighth year. And so, also in that Sabbath year, debts were forgiven and slaves were freed. Okay, so when God said, I want you to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that word remember means to think about, to bring to mind, to dwell upon. But in order to keep the command, it's more than just a mental exercise. We remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, okay? To keep it holy. This day, again, whatever day you choose to make your Sabbath is a day that needs to be set aside to the Lord. That's, again, that's what the word holy means. It means set aside, sanctified. And when God gives us command for what we should do the seventh day, he also tells us what we should do the other 6 days. There in verse 9. On those days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. So on the 6 days, we're to do all our labor. That word labor means the toil and the task. So the things we do that are associated with our occupation, that word work means occupation or the service that we render. So God says all the tasks, all the things that you do to accomplish your job, to accomplish your occupation, to accomplish whatever service you render, needs to be done in those 6 days. Okay? And then that seventh day needs to be set aside unto the Lord, okay? Now, again, it's called the seventh day because it follows 6 days of work. Just like when God, when we go back to the book of Genesis, you know, he had 6 days of creation. And then on the seventh day, he rested and set it aside and blessed it and sanctified, okay? So it's called a day of rest after the 6 days of work. And it's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, okay? That name Lord is the name for God that he gave to Moses at the burning bush, Yahweh. It was the name that represented his covenant, his agreement with the nation of Israel. He said, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And when Moses says, well, when I go back to the people in Egypt and I tell them who sent me, who should I say? And God said, you tell them that I am sent you. Yahweh sent you. Okay? And notice when it says there in verse 10, it's not just for the person, it's for everybody in his household. And so God says, I don't want you to work. I don't want you to make your son or your daughter's work. I don't want you to make your servants, either male or female, work. I don't want you to make your cattle work. Again, cattle was a term that included all sorts of animals. But some of those animals were used to till the field. And God says they need a rest as well. And then he says, neither the strangers that are with you, people that aren't part of your family, people that may not even be Jews, people that have just taken up temporary residence in your house or in your city, you're not to make them work as well. The Sabbath was a day that everybody needs to observe. And then in verse 11, God's saying, you need to observe the Sabbath to honor and respect me. I rested. After 6 days of creation, I rested. In 6 days, I made the heaven, the earth, and the seas, and all that's in them. And I rested the seventh day, and I blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay? So, when to observe a Sabbath is, first of all, to obey God. Again, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. It demonstrates our respect for him. Again, he says, I want you to keep this day holy. And it honors the gift of rest that God has given us as we take and remember the Sabbath day. Okay? So, again, it is a gift. It's a day that's holy unto him. Okay? And to keep the Sabbath is to take actions appropriate to the intent of the Sabbath. So, again, the intent of the Sabbath is to rest physically, emotionally, spiritually, but it's also to think about the relationship that we have with God, the covenant that we have with him. Now, our covenant is not the Old Testament covenant. Our covenant is the New Testament covenant. That's what the word testament actually means, covenant, the new covenant, the relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. And so when we take time and remember the Sabbath and do those things, and we're going to talk about in a little bit what it means to keep the day holy, but we are honoring God. We are respecting God. We are obeying God. All right, now, turn your Bibles or look at your book. We're going to go over to Exodus chapter 31, okay? Exodus 31, start with verses 12 through 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So the Lord spake unto Moses. Moses was the leader that God appointed. Moses was the spokesman for God. Moses was the messenger from God. God often used him to speak to his people. Now, this was not in chapter 31, Moses and God were not having a conversation, as long as you define a conversation as two people talking to each other. Moses didn't do any talking. God did all the talking. And again, as we read Exodus chapter 31, we ought to realize that what is said here did not come from Moses. This did not come from Moses' mind. This is not did not come from Moses' soul or heart. This was instruction from God that the Lord spake. Okay? He spake. Again, a reminder that God, in that time and this time, still makes himself and his will and his purposes known. God still speaks today. Now, again, he doesn't speak like he did to Moses, but he speaks to us through this book. And we ought to approach the Bible as the Word of God, because it is the Word of God. And as we read it, we ought to realize that it is God speaking to us. Amen. Just like he spoke to Moses, said, Moses, I want you to speak to the people. So he spoke, men wrote, and we have what he wants us to hear, just like the Israelites from Moses had what God wanted them to hear. Again, Moses was the leader. He was the spokesman. He was the messenger called by God. He said, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel." I want you to tell them what I'm telling you. I don't want you to add to it. I don't want you to take away from it. I want you to tell them exactly what I've told you. And so Moses was responsible. Moses was responsible for delivering the message that God gave him. God was going to hold him accountable. God was going to hold Moses accountable for delivering the message that God wanted delivered. Just like God holds every teacher and preacher accountable for the message that they deliver. I'm going to be held accountable when I stand before God. I'm not going to be judged for my sins because my sins are all under the blood. But I'm going to stand before God, just like all of you are, for how you've used your life, how you've lived the Christian life, how you've run the race that God has given you to run. And I'm going to be accountable as a teacher and a preacher for, did I deliver the message that God wants me to deliver? Now, you say, preacher, well, yeah, but what difference does that make? Well, it makes a big difference. If you stop and think, why didn't Moses get to lead the people into the promised land? Because God said, I want, the first time he got water out of the rock, he said, Moses, you go ahead and strike it. But the next time, God said, don't strike it, you speak to it. And you remember the story. Moses got so mad at the people. He called them rebels. And he got so mad at them that he didn't listen to God, and he struck the rock the second time. Striking the rock was a message from God. It was a picture from God. The rock represented Jesus. He was going to be struck one time on the cross. Not a second time. There's no second time that's needed. And so when Moses struck the rock the second time, here's what God was saying. Essentially, he was saying, you didn't deliver the message I wanted you to deliver. You messed up my message. Now, there's a penalty to pay when we mess with God. And it's not just for preachers and teachers. It's for everybody. There's a penalty to pay when we mess with what God has told us to do. And God said, Moses, you're not going to be able to lead the people into the land of Canaan. I'll have Joshua do it. You're not going to get to do it. And I try to put myself in Moses' place. I said, God, I mean, just because I struck the rock instead of speaking to it, I mean, isn't that kind of harsh? I mean, isn't that sort of, you know, over the top as far as punishment goes? Not in God's sight. Again, he was trying to paint a picture. Even back here in the book of Exodus, in the Torah, the books that Moses wrote, he was trying to paint a picture of what salvation was going to be. And he doesn't want anybody, even somebody like Moses, messing with his plan and the picture that he was painting for it. And so we might think, boy, God's kind of harsh. But no, he wasn't. He was not harsh. God said, you're not going to get to do it because you messed up the picture that I'm trying to paint of my son. So speak thou also unto the children of Israel. And calling them the children of Israel reminded them that they were a covenant people, that they were a people that had made an agreement with God through Abraham, that they were going to be his people. He was going to be their God. And often throughout the Old Testament, God calls Israel his people, reminding them that he was still calling out a people to bless all nations of the earth. That's what he promised Abraham. Your descendants are going to be many, and they're going to bless all the nations of the earth. Now, we have that call on us today. We are God's people. Just like he chose Israel, he didn't choose them because they were bigger or better than anybody else. He chose them because of an act of grace. He chose them in the same way he chose all of us. Not because we're better or bigger than anybody else, an act of grace. And he wants to use his people, us, those that bear his name, Christians, to bless the earth. And we do that as we share Christ, as we share what he has done for us, as we share the relationship that we have with God through him. So he said, Moses, I'm going to tell you some things. I want you to tell my people these things. Don't change the message. Here's what he says. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Now, that word verily, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is a word that's supposed to grab our attention. It says, the one who says it, and Jesus said it often, verily, verily, I say unto you, hear God saying it. It's a word that says, what I'm about to say is very important. You need to take it very seriously. And so he says, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. The Sabbaths belong to the Lord. That day, well, by the way, all days belong to the Lord. None of us would have any days if he didn't want us to have them. And everything we do every day ought to honor God. But he says, "On the Sabbath day is mine." Okay? And again, you can almost think of it. And again, I know it's not a tithe because one day out of seventh is not a tenth. But just like the tithe belongs to God, and again, just like he's responsible for everything we have, so everything we have belongs to him. But he says, hey, this tenth, this tithe belongs to me. It's not yours. I give it to you so you can give it back to me. God's saying the same thing when he says the Sabbath. Okay? I've given you all 7 days. They're all mine. You wouldn't have any of them unless I gave them to you. But I'm giving you this one day, this Sabbath, so that you can give it back to me, so that you can keep it holy, so that you can sanctify it. And again, so verily my Sabbaths ye, talking again, he wanted the nation of Israel to know, I'm talking to my people. I'm not talking to the people that worship Baal. I'm not talking to the people that worship other idols. I'm talking to my people. I want you to keep my Sabbath. That word keep means to observe, guard, or give heed to. Now, again, God doesn't tell them how to keep the Sabbath. Okay? But I want you to notice, if you look, you don't need to look at your Bibles, but in chapter 30 of Exodus, God was giving instructions through Moses to the two men that God had picked out, the two artisans that God had picked out to make the tabernacle and all the furnishings of the tabernacle. And so the work that these two men were doing were very important. Because again, the tabernacle pictured God. It was a place where God was going to meet the people. It pictured how we were to approach God. And so what these two men were doing as they put the tabernacle together and as they made all the furnishings of the tabernacle was very important to God. But he told even those two guys, he says, you need a day of rest. You can work for 6 days. You can do the work that I've given you to do for 6 days. But that Sabbath day belongs to me. I don't want you to work during that day, okay? And then God goes on, he says, for it is a sign between me and you, okay? It's a sign between us. It's a sign between God and his people. Now, that word sign, it means signal, a distinguishing mark, a token, or a remembrance. Keeping the Sabbath is a reminder to you that you are my people, I am your God. It's a reminder of the relationship we have as people and God. And so if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're not going to remember me. You're not going to remember me. And God says, therefore you need to remember it and keep it holy because it will be a reminder to you of the relationship that we have. I'm your God, you're my people. And God goes on, it's not just for you, it's for throughout your generations. I want you to teach your kids. I want you to teach your grandkids. I want you to teach those that come after them that this day is to be set aside. It's a special day. It belongs to me. I've given it to you, but I want you to give it back to me to keep it holy. that ye may know that I am the Lord. That ye may know that I am the Lord. If you look at the Hebrew, you got to read it like this. That ye may keep learning that I am the Lord. So here's the cycle. God gives us an instruction. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He expects his people to keep it, to remember it, and to keep it. On that day, they think about God. On that day, they think about the relationship that they have with God. On that day, as they do those things, God reveals more of himself. Now again, we don't only learn about God on the day that we rest. We ought to learn something about God every day. And God will teach us something about himself every day if we're listening. But he's saying, there's a cycle here, a cycle of learning. I give you a command, you be obedient. As you're obedient to that, I reveal more of my will to you. As you take this day, set it aside, and think about me, reflect on me, reflect on our relationship. And again, that's the way God still works. God doesn't tell us everything he wants us to know the moment we get saved. He doesn't tell us everything he wants us to know the first anniversary of our salvation or the second anniversary of our salvation. Knowledge of God doesn't come with seniority. Just because somebody's been saved, 40 years, doesn't mean that they necessarily know more than somebody that's only been saved 20 years. The question is, in that 40 years and in that 20 years, how obedient have they been to God? The more obedient we are to God, the more of his will he reveals to us. And sad to say, there are some people that have been saved a lot of years that know less about God than somebody that's been saved a couple of years. Because they haven't been obedient to God. They haven't trusted God. They haven't depended on God. And that person that, and again, it's not always, and I'm not saying that this is not a blanket statement, I'm just saying it happens sometimes. The more we think about God, the more we reflect on our relationship, the more we realize what he's done for us, the more he makes himself known to us. He says, I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. That word sanctify comes from the word kodesh. It means to be clean. God says, I'm the Lord. I'm going to hallow you. I'm going to consecrate you. I'm going to dedicate you. I'm going to set you aside as sacred for a purpose. Again, these were God's covenant people, a people that he had set apart for himself, a people that he had concentrated for his use. And so this admonition to keep the Sabbath is mentioned five times in the book of Exodus. And every time that God mentions it, he puts a little bit different perspective on it. He says, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Keeping the Sabbath is an obligation, a holy obligation. It's holy because it's a godly obligation. It's not an option. It's not something we can say, well, yeah, I can take it or leave it. The Ten Commandments are not a smorgasbord. The Ten Commandments need to be taken in whole. And as I was saying in open assembly, there's not minor commandments and major commandments. The commandment, thou shalt not kill, is not more important than to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God's expectations is that we live by all of them. And so he goes on, he says, everyone that defileth it. Now, when we defile the Sabbath, what do? We make it like the other 6 days. It's not special. It's not set aside. We make our Sabbath. And again, the Sabbath is not Saturday. It's not necessarily Sunday. It's the day that you have set aside to not work, to rest, to refresh yourself, to think about God. And God says, if you defile that day, in other words, if all seven of your days are the same, If God looks at our life and say, hey, I can't tell a difference between Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I can't tell the difference. God says, you're defiling the Sabbath. You're refusing to use this day as I intended for you to use it. Here's what he says. You shall surely be put to death. Now, just stop and think about that for a minute. If we defile the Sabbath, in other words, if we make it a day like every other day, God says the penalty for that is death. He goes on to say, whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. He says, if you work on the Sabbath, I'm going to cut you off from being part of my people. You're not going to be able to associate with those people that are trying to keep the Sabbath. You're not going to be able to associate with those people that are being obedient to this commandment. It's almost like being a leper. Leper had to be put outside the camp because a leper would infect other people with their leprosy. And what God was saying is, hey, if you don't keep the Sabbath, I've got to set you aside. Otherwise, you're going to infect all the other people that are trying to keep it. Now, most of us don't like verses like this. We don't like it. We want God to be more tolerant. We want him to be kinder. We want him to be gentler. God is tolerant. You better thank God that he's tolerant. You better thank God that he's patient. I do every day. I thank God for his patience. God is kind, and God is gentle, but God is also holy. And because he's a holy God, he has holy expectations of his people. He makes those expectations known, and then he says, if you don't live by those expectations, here is the repercussions. So, I mean, think about when you had small children, okay? You set boundaries for them. And if they stepped outside the boundary, what did you do? You punished them. Now, you were probably patient. You probably gave them a second, third, maybe even a fourth chance. You spent time explaining how, you know, hey, this is the rule and this is why we have this rule. If you don't keep this rule, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get injured. You're going to get into trouble. And so as parents, we tried to be patient. We tried to be kind. We tried to be gentle. But if your kids were anything like mine, there came a point where patience came to an end, where gentleness came to an end, where kindness came to an end, that the only way you could reach them, the only way that you could get their message across was to squat them. I mean, I told somebody this week, that's why God made butts. And somebody told me, who was it? Somebody told me, I can't remember when it was. Somebody told, oh, I know who it was. It was Brother Paul. Brother Paul told me yesterday, he said that there was 10 kids in Brother Paul's family. Now, we'd have told me yesterday that the boys were spoiled. But Paul told me the trees around his house, you had to go 20 feet high to find a switch because they were all peeled off by his mom or his dad using them to spank him. And his brothers, and probably his sisters. And I told Brother Paul, he's the one I told yesterday, that's why God made butts. So that punishment, I mean, they're padded for the most part, and they can be swatted without causing a great deal of harm. And at some point, if you loved your children, you disciplined them in a way that got their attention and made them to understand that the rules that you had set for them were not optional. They were there for a purpose. And if they broke the rules, they were going to pay the price. That's the same way that God is with his children. The rules, the commandments, the principles that he gives us to live by are not just suggestions. They are there for our own good. And God has spelled out, said, hey, if you don't keep them, there's going to be repercussions. There's going to be punishment. There's going to be discipline. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He chasteneth. And God says, look, if you defile the Sabbath, if you make it like every other day, you need to be put to death. And there is one instance in the Bible of somebody that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and God said to kill him. Now again, we might think, boy, that's pretty harsh. But God's God. He told us, he told them, don't defile the Sabbath. Because if you do, there's going to be punishment. And God has not changed. If we defy him today, if we ignore the commandments that he's given us today, look, we're his people. We've been made his people through what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But he's still a holy God. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. But he's still a holy God. And Paul said, we should not use grace as an excuse to test him or to disobey him or to go against him, because he said there will be consequences. All right, quickly, let's go on to the last three verses, 15 through 17. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Again, whosoever doeth any work in that Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So this idea of Sabbath actually came into being before the commandments were given, before the law was given. God exhibited it when he created the world. He rested the seventh day. In Exodus chapter 16, before Exodus chapter 20, before the law was given, he told people, hey, I'm going to send you bread from heaven, but I don't want you to gather it on the seventh day. I'll give you twice as much on the sixth day. Don't gather any more than you need for the first 5 days. On the 6 days, you gather twice as much. There's not going to be any there on the seventh day, because I don't want you to gather. So even before the law was given, this idea of Sabbath was in play. Again, a Sabbath day is a divine gift. It acknowledges a rhythm of life that God wants us to have. From the very beginning, even in the Garden of Eden, he charged Adam and Eve with keeping the garden. So from the very beginning, God intended for us to work. But from the very beginning, he also intended for us to rest. We need both. All of one is not good. If somebody works 7 days a week and never rests, it's going to affect them physically, it's going to affect them emotionally, it's going to affect them spiritually. They will eventually burn out. And if somebody rests all the time, it turns into laziness, and pretty soon they're going to have a weak body, a weak mind, and a weak spirit. And so God wants us to have this balance, okay? He said, I want you to work, but 6 days is enough. You take that day, your Sabbath, and again, the Sabbath day may be different for every single one of us, but you take that seventh day and you stop what you normally do. You rest, you reflect, you think about the relationship that we have. Now, people still debate on what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. Is going on a picnic on your Sabbath day, is that keeping it holy? Again, picnic is something you might not do the other 6 days. And if you go out and you sit in a park and you look around and you see everything that God has made and you reflect on God and how good he is, how good he was to you when he saved you, how good he is to you with the blessings that he gives you every day. Now, and again, I'm not the judge, but in my mind, I think that would be in keeping with God intended for the Sabbath. And again, people debate. What can I do? And again, what our grandparents would tell us was okay and what was not okay is different than it is today. And again, doesn't mean they were any more right than we were. We need to be careful that we don't get to the point the Pharisees got to. Okay? The Pharisees, and because they wanted to define for people what it meant to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy, they had a list of hundreds of regulations that people could do and couldn't do. You could only travel so far on the Sabbath day. And again, I don't have time, but there was a whole list of things that you could not do on the Sabbath day. And Jesus, remember what he said? He said, the Sabbath man was not made for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was made for man. The Pharisees had piled on so many regulations that men were, if they kept those regulations, were serving the Sabbath. And God says, that was not in my intent. I made the Sabbath day for my people. It's a sign between me and them, a day for them to get to know me better, a day for them to acknowledge the relationship that we have, a day to recognize that, hey, every day is mine. And again, we ought to do everything. Every day we ought to do things that honor God. Everything we do ought to honor him, bring glory to him. But there ought to be one day a week that's different than the other six where we spend more time thinking about him and what we have in him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this lesson and all these lessons about how we ought to make our life simpler, how we ought to focus on you. So again, I pray that you speak to our hearts, that each of us would have a Sabbath day, a day that we would set aside, that we would rest, refresh ourselves, and think about you. I pray you'd make it so. Father, I ask you to go with us in the service that follows as we uplift Christ. I pray there'll be people here that need to receive him. I pray for Christians that will realize afresh and anew what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning for Sunday School.